It is time to bring in our man Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, Mike, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
So, did you spend your weekend in the state of Georgia?
I spent my weekend in front of a television watching the NFL draft.
I hear you.
And writing for okay. Dog Nation. Boy,
so between,
long draft.
I was going to say, between the three of us, we've got the South covered. But, yeah, long draft, watching a lot of names called. But seven names called for Georgia. Is that what you thought it was going to be? Is that more than you thought? I guess it technically could have been less if Holyfield had been drafted. So your expectations going into the draft, and then how did it play out for you?
I thought Holyfield and Ledbetter would be drafted. You know, Ledbetter especially, you know, he went to the Senior Bowl, and that's a pretty good indication that you're going to get drafted when you go to the Senior Bowl. And from all indications there, you know, they liked what they saw from Jonathan. To me, guys, this comes down to the combine. And, you know, people talk about, oh, you know, they make too much out of the 40. The 40 doesn't matter that much. The 40 matters. It matters a lot. And I think that hurt both Jonathan, who ran like a 5-1, and obviously Elijah. So those measurables, those scouts, they believe in them because those guys were captains. They were big-time contributors on a championship-contending team. So that combine, though, I think that really hurt both Jonathan and Elijah.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Here's the thing, though. I mean, being an undrafted free agent ain't the end of the world, and a lot of people will say that might even be better than being drafted like in the sixth or seventh round because you can choose your team that you want to go to. So maybe that will end up helping those guys out.
That part of it's true, but you know, I did a story I put up on Dog Nation this morning about salaries and what you can make as a drafted guy in the seventh round versus what you can make as an undrafted guy is a couple million dollars difference.
Yeah.
So you want to be drafted and make the team. But to your point, if you're drafted in the seventh round and don't make the team, then the undrafted guy who signs as a free agent does make more than you. So in that respect. But I look at the seventh round guys. I look at Terry Godwin and Isaac Nauta, and I think they were bargains. I think they were bargains, guys that have great value. I can't believe Isaac Nauta slipped to the seventh round. I mean, that's amazing to me. As talented as a guy as Isaac is and the film that he's got, again, combine really hurt him. Terry Godwin actually had an okay combine, but I think his lack of production his senior year really worried some people. And you know, you guys remember Terry had that calf injury at the start of the year and really didn't have the kind of year that maybe we thought he would have numbers-wise. And I think that might have been a red flag for some NFL scouts. He only had 22 catches as a senior.
It's certainly seven Bulldogs going. That's the most under Kirby Smart's tenure so far. And things might get even more ramped up next, the 2020 draft, depending on some declarations as we get them. But this has to be looked at as a good day for the Georgia football program, at least in terms of recruiting and going forward to say, hey, we can put you in the league, come on and be a Georgia Bulldog.
Well, I think people knew that off of last year's draft. They had six. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say it was a positive or a negative. I'm not sure it was either. I mean, people can say guys went late. I mean, you know, the trolls that are out, and they're out there. Boy, are they ever on social media.
What? But, what are you talking about?
Tone it down.
Yeah, what?
It's, you know, look at these five-star guys that went to Georgia and end up going in the seventh round. They weren't developed. You know, that's kind of the narrative from the troll base. Although I thought Isaac Nauta got better every year. And, you know, I don't know what to say about Terry. I don't know how you prevent an injury. But that's, you know, it's about right. I mean, Alabama had more guys drafted again, so that's not a win. When you're at the top like Georgia, that's where Georgia's at right now. I mean, and this is kind of the good news, bad news for the fan. I mean, the good news is your program is considered one of the top five in the country. I mean, it's knocking on the door. It's Alabama, Clemson, and then Georgia's right there, and that's kind of how it's looked at. The good news is that's how it's looked. The bad news is there's not very far much more you go up. You can only go down, so you can say, wait, we had seven guys drafted. Yeah, well, you know, Alabama had more. You know, I mean, if you're not first or second, it's a disappointment if you're Georgia now, because you're definitely regarded as the third best program. I mean, yeah, those people in Oklahoma can talk about their video game offensive numbers, but they got zero defense. And you know, I got in trouble for saying it, but they didn't belong in the playoff last year. Their defense was horrible. People can go back and look at the metrics and see where Georgia was and where Oklahoma was after their championship games. And I don't want to hear about the bowl game. You know, oh, well, you know, that Texas game, that really proved job bowl. That's crap. You know, Baker didn't play. The kids weren't into it. And, oh, by the way, Oklahoma was down 28-0 to Alabama in 17 minutes. So let's stop pretending that Oklahoma was better than Georgia last year. They weren't. But to your point, I think seven is about right. I don't think it was a bad day, and I don't think it was a great day, because I think some of those guys could have gone earlier. And I think this is a challenge for the Georgia strength and conditioning staff. You know, they put out a lot of these videos of pulling things and carrying things. They need to get these guys combine ready. And to that point, Kirby had a point on that, too. And I'm going to do a story on this here in a little bit. But Kirby says, why are these guys paying and going to all these camps all over the country? Why don't they just stay here and train? And I wonder, after the combines that some of these guys had, I wonder if we'll see more guys do that, especially 2020, where I anticipate a handful of juniors going, and next year seeing double-digit Georgia guys drafted.
You know, and it's funny you mentioned that, too, and I haven't had a chance to do a deep dive into this, but I've had a couple people tell me that, like, some of these, what do you call them, January, February, March workouts that some of these guys go through with some of these companies have gotten to be a little bit, like, not scammish, but you know, not what they could be. And that is funny that you bring that up about something that Kirby said about, well, why don't you just stay and train where you are? And I wonder, you know, like you said, if we might start seeing some more of that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I think facilities have something to do with it. Weather has something, you know, the guys
yeah.
like to go somewhere else. The whole idea is to get away from it and, you know, really just, you know, absorb nothing but training. And I get that. I get that concept. But, you know, really, you could do that here. And as I've said many times, you know, Athens is about as good a destination place as you can get. No, there's not a beach there. It's not Miami. It's not San Diego. I get that. And if you've got agents that want to pay for you to go out there, that's great. But remember, on the flip side, those agents are going to get their money too. So I wonder if we'll see that. That's the thing that I wonder if that comes out. If there's anything that comes out of this to me, and it pains me to say this, but Georgia players did not do well at the combine relative to other schools. They did not. I don't want to say they flopped, but they were not as good. But even Baker, you know, going 30th. If Baker runs a low 4.4 or mid 4.4, he probably goes 10 or 12 spots higher. The combines weren't good. The only guy that really had a great combine there was Mecole Hardman. And I think he could have put those numbers up in October, November, December, because he's just such a special guy. And how exciting for him to go to the Chiefs in that Tyreek Hill slot there. It couldn't have worked out better. I think he would have been picked by the Steelers had the Chiefs not traded up, though.
I think you're right. I mean, that was great for Mecole. Very, very happy for him. But that Tyreek Hill story is just disgusting.
Well, remember, guys, he had a domestic violence issue going into the league,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, that's the thing you wonder. Now, I don't know if had he not been drafted and had the lot in league not given him the second chance or overlooked that, does that mean this wouldn't happen? I don't know. It's hard to say, but it's also hard for me to sit there and listen to the commentators talking about another guy that got drafted talking about, yeah, he hit somebody, but he sure was a good guy these last few years.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, but the next person that he hits, you know, if there's, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, you don't ever want to say guys don't deserve second chances. We've seen guys that have made the most out of their second chances, you know, and then conversely we don't. So, you know, really only one, you know, only God can, you know, judge. But I don't like it when people go overboard either. It's like, okay, we get it. The guy had a problem in high school. He's getting drafted because he's a great football player. But don't sit here and ram it down my throat that he's a great person, because now you're insulting me. I'll make my own conclusions based on what happens the next few years, but don't oversell that. That's kind of my take on second chances is, okay, they're fine, but don't, you know, don't try to tell me, you know, something else.
You know, and it's funny, too. I'll throw this to both of you guys. So when we got to Starkville, the hotel we were staying in was having the Jeffrey Simmons draft party. And then he threw out the first pitch of the baseball game yesterday, And, you know, there was the horrible thing, incident that he had when he was in high school before he got to Mississippi State. And he got the kind of the hero treatment this week. And now everyone we've talked to there is like, look, this guy had a horrible thing happen. And it was caught on video. As soon as he was drafted, ESPN played it up. But literally, there's been no problems with him since he's been in Starkville, that kind of thing. So it's always kind of, for me, it's tough because is it, you know, we don't know him personally. So do you judge his entire life by some horrible mistake he made, which was, again, it was horrible? Or does he get, you know, the benefit of the doubt of a second chance? And then that's where it comes back to Tyreek Hill, where the same thing happened. He did this, you know, he was a JUCO guy coming out of high school. He got kicked out of Oklahoma State, but he has world-class speed. So does that, you know, does that let you give him a pass? I don't know. It's hard for me on some of these kind of things.
Yeah. You know, a pass is one thing, but hero treatment's another.
Yeah,
I guess that's kind of how I look at it.
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
In time. I mean, in time, certainly, you know, and I don't know. Again, I mean, I hate to sound so jaded and skeptical. I mean, but he's, you know, he's been fine as far as we know.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
exactly.
Who's to say, you know, I mean, who's to say, you know, what really happens? You know, not everything that happens gets disclosed. I mean, and again, that's why I said, you know, the hero treatment thing and all that. I mean, he threw out the first pitch because they want donations from the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to be skeptical,
no,
but
you're
let's
right.
be honest.
You're right.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it is what it is. So, anyway, that, you know, fortunately, when we're talking about the Georgia players, you know, DeAndre Baker, you know, he didn't have any of those sort of incidents. And Mecole Hardman, I mean, the Georgia guys, you know, they've done well. I'll preface this, I have extremely high expectations for these Georgia guys because of what they did last year. I mean, his team was beating Alabama by 2 touchdowns. They were beating the number one team in the country that had beat everybody else by 22 by 2 touchdowns. This Georgia team did a lot last year. I don't like the way it finished. They didn't leave the type of legacy that people are going to want to remember with 3 losses. They were better than that, much better than that. So I personally, guys, just me personally, I was disappointed. I was disappointed Baker didn't go higher. I was glad where Mecole went. I thought Riley Ridley was ridiculously low in the 4th round. I think he really hurt himself by not running at Pro Day. That sent the wrong message. He stood on a 4.58 40 in a 30-inch vertical. A competitor goes at it again. Riley sent the wrong message. I think that's why he fell in the draft. Disappointed that DeAndre Walker didn't go higher. I understand that he couldn't work out, but my goodness, put the film on. That championship game, he was unstoppable. I thought he was much better than a 5th-round pick. Lamont Galliard is a center. You know, he was the 4th center taken, and where he went in the 6th round was more dictated by where team needs were at. So being the 4th center off the board, not bad. Maybe could have gone 1 or 2 centers higher realistically, but even the Alabama center went really late. And then Nauta in the 7th round to me was just ridiculous. I mean, he should have gone 2 or 3 rounds higher. Again, the combine hurt him. And Terry, you know, I wish he would have had more catches his senior year, but you just can't do anything about that calf injury and the fact he was buried on the depth chart. And Ledbetter and Elijah both. I mean, these are consummate pros. I mean, Jonathan's a guy, I know they're worried about his pass rush. You know, but this guy's a hard-working guy. He's a guy that's going to grit it out. I think he can make a roster. But Elijah, I mean, he's a guy that can do anything that you want in the locker room. So I guess that's kind of my thought. I was kind of disappointed with where 4 or 5 of those guys went, I'd say.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, we were also talking about, and I know you get asked this a lot too, it's like, all right, so what's Jake Fromm going to do? Is he going to come back for a senior season? And my answer is, let's see what happens in his junior season and then worry about that. What do you tell people when they ask you that question?
I think it depends on the kind of year that he has.
Yeah.
And you know, the real thing that nobody wants to, you know, does he like school? So you say, what do you mean? Some guys don't like – now, I think Jake is fine with school, by the way. I think Jake has no problem with school. But sometimes, you know, if you get, you know, hit over the head with a dump stick, it's like, Jake, you're a top 10 pick. You got to go. I mean, if you are projected in the first half of the 1st round, that's kind of a no-brainer, guys, especially if you look around and you see three or four of your offensive linemen are going pro early. I think that'll have a lot to do with it. I think Jake might sit down with Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson and Solomon Killian and Ben Cleveland and go, are you guys coming back next year? If you guys ain't coming back, I ain't coming back. I think it's going to be a mass exodus because I think those linemen are gone. I think Swift is gone. I think Andrew Thomas is gone. I think Ben Cleveland is gone. I think Saul McKinley's gone. And if you're Jake Fromm, I think you got to go too. And then if you're J.J. Holloman, you look at that and go, yeah, I'm out. So that's what I think. I mean, now I could be wrong. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe these guys come so close to a national title, but there's just a reality to it. And so I almost feel like Jake is going to – and I'm not speaking for him. I've never talked to Jake about that. I want to be very clear on that.
Yeah.
I've never heard Jake speak on this. Now, I've heard Swift. I've heard Andrew Thomas. I've heard Isaiah Wilson. And they've all said, yeah, we talk about it. I mean, and Kirby knows this. And Kirby –
they should
Kirby
talk about
back
it.
Going, guys, I'm gonna recruit more guys. I mean, there's a reason all these five stars are signing with Georgia because they know their time is coming quick. So my guess would be if somebody asked me, I'd say I'm probably 2/3 sure Jake Fromm goes pro. If he's injured or something like that, or for whatever reason, you know, three or four of these offensive linemen decide to stay, then okay, you know, Jake could stay. But there's a reality to it.
All right, Mike, great stuff as always. We do appreciate it. And we'll see where the conversation leads us next weekend, for next Monday when we have you on again. Thanks, Mike.
Do you got any feelings about the Citadel game? Because this four-game losing streak's a bit much.
Well, you know, it's funny. We just had an emailer remind us about Georgia was at a low point last year where they had lost four in a row on the trip to Charleston and beat the Citadel, and it kind of got things going in the right direction. So I'm feeling good about tomorrow and then getting back home. This weekend was just a perfect storm of just bad things for Georgia. So not having Hancock and not having Shunk and just State got hot. It was just a perfect storm. You just got to flush it. Got to flush it and get ready for tomorrow and then especially for the Gators coming in this weekend. That's my feeling.
That's the big one.
Yep.
I'll be there. I'll be there for the Gators.
Sounds good. We'll see you over there. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.